Shabbat Shalom in the synagogue. All right. Looks like we've got some snoozers this morning. Not here, but not here exactly. People snoozing. Rabbis don't get to snooze. We have late services and we had to be here. We had an awesome dinner last night. I gotta tell you, not only did we have an awesome service, but we had a great dinner afterward for anyone who could stay up late enough to eat it. Carol made this wonderful meal last night. It was really great. So Diane and Don and I and Joshua sat around Isaac, and it wasn't that great. It was like chicken with spätzle. Oh my gosh. Gosh, this is like fine. It's a fine dining experience at Ari Yehuda. I mean, you just got to know when to catch it. You know. Okay. Let's. Don, you better start before I go off.
Before he starts telling jokes. And
before
then
I start.
And then you.
I start doing my Julia Child impression.
Don't.
It's a little
laugh.
More cooking, Sherry.
Shabbat wine.
Stop
sneaking the Shabbat wine, Rabbi. Hallelujah. We have the Shabbat wine of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shabbat shabbat. Shabbat shalom,
hey.
Shabbat shalom,
hey. says in Deuteronomy 32, come on nations and worship the Lord with his people. And I can't quote it verbatim, but it basically says he's going to defend you against all the enemies. If you come and worship in the house of Israel and worship with Israel, he will save you from all the calamities. And so there is safety in the house of Israel. Amen, Rabbi?
Amen, Rebbetzin.
So, isn't it, I think it's a good thing to come to the feast of the Lord and worship with the people of Israel. Amen? And here we are going to bless the Messiah, and we bless him, and we worship him, and we worship him together in a holy convocation. We had two great, wonderful services, and we have more to come. God is got more to come. Say more.
More.
You think you have it all, and then there's more.
I must.
So let's bless the Messiah this morning and expect more from him during these high holidays.
Yes.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Where's Big Wendell? Is he here today?
He's not feeling well. So, Wendell, if you're watching, we wish you well. Get
Sorry,
better
Wendell.
In the name
yes.
of Yeshua.
Lord, heal Wendell. All right. We'll pray for him later.
Where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker, and ask for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Vishamru.
It's time for the Vishamru. Page 45 in your Siddurim. I'll tell him. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat lasod et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat lasod et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei 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 Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Ohi le'olam v'shamru B'nei Yisrael et ha'shabbat, la'sod et ha'shabbat et dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, et shemayim v'et haaretz v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha'shabbat, la'sod et ha'shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
Yom HaShviyi, Shabbat
V'Nafash, Shabbat V'Nafash, Shabbat V'Nafash, V'Shamru B'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat, La'sod et HaShabbat le'dorotam barit olam. And Greg, would you read that in English for us, please?
Shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting
covenant.
It is a sign between
me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
And
it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. And all microphone users, notice how close my mouth is to the microphone. Praise the Lord.
Just instructions from the Torah. Get you up.
I'm training.
On a high mountain, Zion,
bearer of good tidings,
lift your voice and fear. Pray for the Israel.
Greg, would you read the day of the Lord, please? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Come with me, please. Rend your
hearts and not
your
garments.
Return
to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love,
and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for Adonai your God. Blow a shofar in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Then the Lord will be jealous for his hand and take pity on his people. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord. For God has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fires and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance as the Lord has said.
Amen. I'll stand for the blowing of the shofar. Praise the Lord. Rabbi, will you pray for Israel?
Let's pray for Israel today and pray for America. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just come before you with our hearts bowed, with all the calamity in the world that's going on right now, Lord. We pray, we're going to for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. They shall love her. They who love her shall prosper. And Lord, so we pray for the peace of Jerusalem as you command us. And your word says in the Psalms, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand lose its cunning. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand lose its cunning. Oh, how I love to be in your holy city, Lord. Oh, how we love to be in your holy city. There's no place on earth like Jerusalem, Lord. There's no place like Jerusalem. And Galilee is incredibly special, too. That being just wonderful to go to the Holy Land, and I'm so blessed, and I thank you, Lord, that you brought me there 14 times to the Holy Land, Lord. What an honor to go so far away in pilgrimage. And not only that, to baptize and to lead people on trips to the Holy Land. And Father, I just want to pray for the salvation of our people. Lord, from the top down, from Bibi Netanyahu all the way down to the lowliest street sweeper, trash collector, or person who's unemployed and living on welfare and taking care of children without a husband or without, you know who I'm talking about, Lord, those who are struggling. Lord, I pray for them. Lord, you are the answer to all their needs. Those who have to figure out how to defend the country, you're the answer. Those who are struggling to find their next meal, you're the answer. Those who are struggling to pay an electric bill, you're the answer. And those who are in trouble with the law, you're the answer. Those who are intending to commit terrorist acts, you're the answer. To all those people, Lord, Yeshua is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Open their eyes. Let the scales fall. We pray for the Palestinian people today, Lord, that the scales would fall from their eyes, Lord, and that they would know you and the Jordanians and the Egyptians and all of Israel's enemies, Lord. We pray for the salvation of the Muslim peoples and Arab peoples in those lands, Lord. We pray that you would reveal yourself. And your word says that one day it will be a highway from Syria to Egypt. And you call your people of Syria and your people Egypt, along with your people Israel, Lord. And your word talks about that, that there'll be a highway, a holy highway, between the three nations. And they'll be worshiping, and they'll come up from Egypt to worship on the mountain of the Lord. And they'll come from Syria to worship at the mountain of the Lord. And not to worship Allah, but to worship Adonai, to worship Elohim, to worship Yeshua, the God of Israel. They'll all come to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we just look forward to that day, Lord. I look forward to dancing in Jerusalem, Lord. I can't wait to dance in Jerusalem, Lord, in my glorified body, and to be there in your presence, worshiping with the multitudes of people in the holy city, and dancing the hora at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for our nation and for all that's going on in the world, Lord, for all the crises, for Mexico. We pray for the people of Mexico recovering from the earthquake. Lord, ask for mercy. Have mercy. It's getting near the end where it's going from a rescue to a whatever they call it after a rescue, recovery, Lord. We just pray that there's some more people are saved. Lord, I pray also for Puerto Rico, the people of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and Martinique and people recovering in Florida and in Houston, Lord. We pray, Lord, gosh, I know what it is to have floods and how frustrating it is to deal with insurance companies and contractors and to be out of work and to be wasting your time trying to fix and rebuild your life and not have an income. God, help those people and the stress that they're under. No electricity, many of them, no refrigeration. Have mercy. Take care of them, Lord. Send help. Send help, Lord. Merciful God, we thank you for your mercies and for all the peoples of those world who are suffering. And we pray, Lord, for our president. Lord, I pray for him and his leaders. I just pray for his strength, for his health. And I pray against the curses that have been cast against him in the name of Yeshua. I pray man cannot curse who God has blessed. Man cannot curse who God has blessed. And you have chosen our president, Lord, for such a time as this, Lord. And the world doesn't understand that all authority, the scripture says, and for those unbelievers watching, the scripture says that all authority is from God, and there is no authority which is not from God. And all authority exists is from God. So President Obama was chosen by God. It's hard to believe that. Even the guy in North Korea was somehow chosen by God, given authority. And God had a reason for it, and all the terrible leaders in history were somehow chosen by God to lead, but somehow they were even chosen to bring destruction and judgment on their own countries and on other nations. So Lord, you give us good and you give us bad. Sometimes we deserve it. Well, we deserve it, but I pray for our president, Lord, that he leads in wisdom, that you lead him in paths of righteousness, and that people would stop judging him. Pray that people would stop judging him and just let him lead, Lord. Let him rule. Let him do what he was elected to do. And I pray for his strength and for his family in the name of Yeshua. And I pray for the salvation of our Jewish people here in America, Lord, that you'd remove the scales from their eyes. Pray for the Messianic leaders, Lord, that you bless them today, wherever they are. Give them strength, Lord. I know what it is to be a spiritual leader, and it's a difficult job. And just pray for my brothers and sisters out there who are leading congregations, that you help them lift their arms, bless them, heal them, prosper them, help the ones who are struggling, help the ones who are sick, heal them. Lynn Feinberg, Jeff Adler, and many others who are in need of healing. And Lord, I pray for our leaders, that they would lead us with, there'd be a revival in our leadership in the Messianic community. I pray for a revival in our leadership, a revival. There would be such a change, a transition, a transformation, Lord, that they would be unified and working together in power to bring about the Messianic restoration, Lord, that we would all be of one accord, as it was in the days of Acts, of the book of Acts, chapter 2 and 3. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, I want to just pray for William Bledsoe, our brother Bill Bledsoe, and Jennifer, as you comfort the family and comfort Bill and his children and his brothers and sisters over the loss of his father. And in the name of Yeshua, thank you, Lord. I pray for not only for my mother, for her, I thank you that you sustained her this long. It's a miracle. And that you sustain her to my niece's wedding next month. And thank you that you just give her peace. I pray for her salvation. I pray also for the other mothers, for Karen Gaby and her parents, and that you help her, bless her parents, give them strength, give her strength as a caregiver, Lord, and to her parents, give Karen strength. It's the hardest job to be a single caregiver. I pray for Brenda. And is it your mother, Brenda? I pray for Brenda, and I pray for Brenda's mom, for strength and health and healing, whatever her needs are, Lord, that you would heal her and strengthen her and help Brenda as she cares for her mother. I pray for all the caregivers out there, especially the single ladies caring for elderly people. Lord, it's a difficult job, and to work and to take care of parents, and so keep them in your prayers. In Yeshua's name, amen. We pray for Wendell's healing. Lord, heal Wendell. Take the cold, take the sickness from his body, and heal him, Lord.
And heal Maria. She's hurting too.
And heal Maria. Yes, heal Maria, Lord. In Yeshua's name, heal them both, Lord. Amen. Gracious unto us, and answer us, for we have no righteousness of our own. Do unto us righteousness and mercy, and save us. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto, Leolam V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shivtecha b'vetecha u'v'lechtecha v'derech Uveshach Becha, Uvekumecha, Ukeshartam, Leo Alyadecha, Behayula Totafot Bene Necha, Uchetav Tam, Almazuzot Betecha, Uvisharecha.
Greg?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words which I have said may be upon your heart. They are to your children. When you sit at your house and when you walk by the way, when you retire and when you arise, they are right on your hand. Set them frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Hallelujah. Well, let's see. How about... Ray, would you like to carry the Torah today? Ray? And David, would you like to carry the Torah with Ray? Okay. So, Ray, why don't you go first, and then when you get tired, you can pass it off to David. And Greg, would you, if you'd be kind enough to open the ark.
Malchucha, Malchukol Olamim, Umem Shotecha Bechol Dor Vador. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Leolam Vaed, Adonai Os Leomo Yitain, Adonai Barech Et Amo Vashalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Shabbat Shalom. Good job, Rabbi.
You gotta get that, get that stuff out.
Vayhi ben Soharom vayemer Moshe Korna Adonai yefutzu oy becha Mienusu misanecha mipanecha Ki mitzion tese Torah Ki mitzion tetze Torah Udavar Adonai v'Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'kdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah, Amod.
Greg, what's your dad's name? All right, hallelujah. Ya'amod Greg ben Yaakov. Baruch et Adonai hamvora.
Baruch Adonai hamleolam va'ed.
Baruch Adonai hamroch yolam va'ed.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher bakar banu mikol ha'amim. Ve'natan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Adonai noten ha'torah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. We want to welcome Greg as he comes and shares the Midrash today for the first time. We're excited to have him and for him. And may this be the first of many for you, Greg. And go get him.
You know, when God told me to start coming here, he didn't say anything about this. Okay.
He usually doesn't. Or they wouldn't come.
Okay. All right, today's Torah portion, we're in Deuteronomy, and it's known as the Song of Moses. And Moses knew after he died that the children of Israel would fall away, and God has him recite a song which testifies about their covenant with God. And about halfway through the song, it's pretty much all God speaking in the first person. And he knows because of their sin, they're going to fall away. So I'd just like to start with verse 20. This is Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. And this is God speaking. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a perverse generation, sons who have no faithfulness. So because of their sin, God says they're not going to hear from him. And have you ever had anyone give you the silent treatment? I mean, it stinks. I hate it. And I've heard Dr. Michael Savage, I don't know if any of you all listen to Dr. Savage, but he says that they've done psychological studies, and when you give someone the silent treatment, it's basically mentally like beating them with a baseball bat. So if you're prone to do that, I would advise not to. The Bible teaches us not to let the sun go down on our anger, and it's a rough thing to do, but it's a good habit. So let's pick up here. Let's go to verses 26 and 27. And God God says here, I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove them. I will remove the memory of them from men. He's speaking of the children of Israel. Had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, that their adversaries would misjudge, that they would say, our hand is triumphant, and the Lord has not done all this. So one of the reasons that he didn't let the enemy wipe them out is he didn't want them to take credit for it. God hates pride, and I guess God hates pride even in our enemies. So let's jump down here to verse 35. And this is God still speaking. He says, vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near, and impending things are hastening upon them. So when you hear hastening, what do you think of? It's coming quickly. But I heard somebody talk about how we're supposed to pray for Jesus to return and that for him to hasten. But we know he can't come till all things are in place. And he was saying another definition for hasten is to wait expectantly, which I thought that was very nice. That was very nice. I had never thought of it that way. And God does expect us to wait expectantly. So the last one I'm going to cover out of here from where God is speaking, it's verse 39. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. So life and death, they are in the hands of God. And if you read back in verse 24, it also says that God sends plagues. And can you think of a disease that God would send to his people? I've heard Anthony say over and over again that adultery is one of the worst sins that we can commit because we bring that sin into our body, and it causes another multitudes of sins, one which I would say would be lying, because if you're committing adultery, you have to lie to somebody. And what does it say? The Bible says adulterers and liars won't enter the kingdom of heaven. But I would say sexual diseases, if people would follow God's laws for marriage, a sexual disease is something you would never have to, that you would never have. One man, one woman, one flesh. There would be no sexual diseases in your family. So Moses sums up the song in verse 47. And he says to the children of Israel, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word, you will prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross to Jordan to possess. So he's saying every word in this song, every commandment of God is for our good. And if you follow those commands, your life will go maybe smoother, maybe not, but it's good advice. And so after this, God tells Moses to go to Mount Nebo, that his days are over, that he's going to die, that he doesn't get to enter into the promised land. And does anyone remember why God told Moses he can't go to the promised land? That's right, because of the rock. If we go back, if you want to go to Numbers 20, this is God speaking to Moses and Aaron at verse 8. Take the rod, and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. Now we know Moses was irritated with Israel because of all their complaining. And when he gets to the rock, he doesn't speak to it. He hits it twice with his staff, in which that upset God. And then if we pick it up here in verse 12, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sights of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And I found it interesting, he says to Moses, he gave them the land, because I thought it was for all Israelites. So Moses took away his right. So when God's speaking to you and you know it's God, I think it's best to follow the directions he gives you, no matter how out of this world it seems, or no matter how much sense it doesn't seem to make. Follow God, even when it doesn't make sense. So okay, and the next little part of our readings is from 2 Samuel, and it's 22:1-51. And oddly enough, about 2 weeks ago, somebody gave me Psalm 18, and he said, you know, these are all nice descriptions of God. And it turns out that this, from our reading, is basically Psalm 18 in 22 Samuel. It's just some of the words are different. Like in Psalm 18, the psalm starts out, I love you, O Lord, my strength. But here it goes, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So that's our God in a nutshell. But this week, I was driving on my route, and there was just a piece of metal laying flat in the road. And I knew I didn't want to hit it with my tire, so I kind of like centered up so I could go over it. Somehow or another, I caught a piece of that thing, and I heard it hit under my car. So a couple miles later, I pull into a gas station, and I look, and there's a trail this wide of liquid following me into the gas station. It was gas. My car was leaking gas like you wouldn't believe, and leaving a trail this wide behind it, just pouring out of it. And I was like, oh, dear heavens. So, of course, people go to that gas station to buy cigarettes. So everybody walking by, I had to watch, make sure nobody threw a match near the car or smoking a cigarette near it. And I had to be on the phone with work. And that, you know, I had 10 phone calls. I was on the phone and watching. But nothing ever happened. The car got towed back to Bristol. And everybody at work, they kept coming up to me. You're lucky the car didn't explode. You're lucky the car didn't explode. I didn't really feel lucky. But my boss, when I was talking to her, she said to me, aren't you glad you have a guardian angel? And I was like, reminds me of Psalm 91. He gives his angels charge upon you so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. And I felt like he was my strength, and he protected me from my enemies this past week. And so we'll close. The other reading was from Romans, and we'll close with this. I'm just going to read it to you. It's good advice. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for the evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, and this is from our reading in Deuteronomy, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Shabbat shalom.
I feel like a proud father. I don't know. Greg's probably older than me, but 2 years. Two years older, but I could adopt him.
All right, let's stand for the closing of the Torah and bring the lights back on in the back seat.
Torah asher shel Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael al pi Adonai b'yad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses gave
before the children of Israel through the command of the Lord at Moses' hand.
Amen.
Etz Chaim Lamazikim Ba Letom Kreha Meushan Derah Tivotecha shalom Ashivenu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh Chadesh Yomenu Chadesh Yomenu
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her,
and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Please be seated.
Just a few announcements, and we'll continue with our worship and message of rabbis coming soon, so stick around. He usually, we start around 12:30, so please stay tuned. Welcome online, everyone who's joined us today. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, and 1128 New Hampshire Avenue. We invite you to come down and worship with us if you're in this area. I say many times that if you'd like to go to Israel, this is your place in this local area to connect with Israel, and you don't have to pay a big airline fee to get over there. You just need to drive down to 1128 New Hampshire Avenue and be with us on a Saturday morning or any of our special services. So go click, like us on Facebook. And also, there's information on our website to check us out. And we'll keep you updated if you sign up on the emails. I will send you information on all of our special events coming up and keep you posted on what's going on here. So that's a welcome. I think we're all family here today, and we've had some wonderful services, Rosh Hashanah service Wednesday night and Friday night, and God always shows up. He's speaking. He's already, the prophetic word is already beginning to pour out, and did you enjoy it last night? Yes, it was awesome, wasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. So as I said before, in Deuteronomy 32, it says that we are to come into the house of Israel and to worship with his people. And that's a commandment for all time. And there is shelter from the storm in the house of Israel. So I want to invite you, in the times of trouble, God's word, prophetic word for these times, these troubled and tribulation times, will be coming from the house of Israel. So don't be looking out there. You need to be looking to Israel for the word of the Lord. And that's where it's coming from. In the unexpected place, out in the dry desert, over the hill, and in a neighborhood you didn't expect to find, you will have the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Amen. So, and that's what we are here, a connection to Israel. Praise the Lord. Yom Kippur is next Friday. We are now in the days of awe, which is the time of fasting and introspection. And if any of you feel the Lord to spend time fasting and prayer, please do so. You can. There's probably some prayer points and things. I don't have anything for you, but you know, if you go online, you might find some helps as far as what to pray and how to get into the presence of the Lord. But mainly, we want to be focusing on our repentance and what's going on with our souls before the Lord, sanctification, and also praying for Israel and for the times that we're in, the troubles and tribulations that are being experienced around the world as the birth pangs begin to come closer and closer. We are praying for this time. Fasting and prayer for 10 days, and please be intentional about that if you can. And next Friday night, September 29th, 6:30, here will be the beginning of the end of the holy time, Yom Kippur. That's Erev Yom Kippur, starts Friday night, and then Saturday morning we'll continue in that same attitude, and then Saturday night will be the last service. It's the closing of the gates. It's the Neilah service, 5:30 here, Saturday night next weekend. So we've got three services, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night. And the closing of the gates and the great shofar will be Saturday night, 5:30 here. And that's when the great shofar is sounded. So please come. Next week, it's the holiest day of the year on the calendar of the Jewish, the Lord's calendar. So please make, it a priority. It's what the Lord asks. In addition to that, please remember, Makedem is coming October 17th. Makedem is an Israeli revival band, praise band, and they are just awesome. They have some of the most awesome up and coming messianic music. It's this new sound of messianic music, which it's very hard for me to play because the rhythms are so complicated. And if we get some other musicians, we might be able to play some of their music. But it is just awesome stuff. So I encourage you to put that on your calendar and tell people, especially young people, about it. We're going to be doing this as a joint event with Grace Point Church of God in Bristol, Tennessee. So please put that on your calendar. One other note is that we are putting together a tour to Israel. We do not have the details, and I was hoping to have it for the holidays, but we were not able to do it yet. We haven't solidified the details, but we are in negotiations with the tour company and trying to work out those things. So please know that we've got something planned. It's probably going to be for the beginning of next June, like around June 1st, next 2018. So I think that's all that we have. Is there anything else? We do have Oneg this afternoon. Have we? Yes? Okay. All right. So afterwards, let's gather downstairs for lunch together. And I will turn it back over to Rabbi. Yes. At Grace Point. It's going to be at Grace Point. They have a bigger and nicer stage. Makedem is a huge group. There's four, at least four or five of them in the band, and they're all incredible musicians, every single one of them. And one of the singer, her name is Shai Sol. She's actually pretty famous in Israel. She's won, kind of like American Idol here in the United States. She's won the Israeli American Idol singing contest. And so she is famous in Israel. And so she's one of the main singers, and she's written some of the music in conjunction with Jamie Hilsden, who is the son of
Wayne Hilsden.
They're
a very well known group, and excuse me, Don. Yes. They're incredibly, they're a praise team, but they really are on the forefront of the revival, of the Messianic revival, which Messianic Judaism isn't a denomination. It's a revival. This is it's a sign. What you're a part of here isn't a church like a mainline denominational church. Messianic Judaism is a sign of the end times, that when the Jewish people return, to God, that all things will be fulfilled, and it's a sign of the coming of the Lord. Honestly, it's one of the signs. There are many signs of the coming of the Lord. But what we are here today, the fact that Jew and Gentile are worshiping together in the house of the Lord, is a sign, and that's what Messianic Judaism is. We are the revival of Israel.
Amen.
That's what we are. We're not a denomination. Yes, it is a service, and yes, we function as a synagogue. Some call us a church, whatever. Whatever it helps you to comprehend what we are, but we're not a denomination. We are the part of the revival of Israel. And Makedem, the revival has moved. It used to be here in the United States, and it's still the Messianic movement is going strong in the United States. It's growing. Congregations are growing, and we're growing. But the focus, the spotlight from God seems to have moved to Israel. you know, and so we're seeing all this incredible anointed talent coming out of Israel, this anointing coming out of Israel, and Akedem is on the forefront. God's using them, and they're traveling around the world ministering. And they're coming to Bristol. They're going to be at Liberty University Chapel. They've been down at the Dallas Theological Seminary ministering to the chapel down there for the students. These are huge places for gatherings for Christians, you know, like 5,000 and 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 people. And they're coming here to Bristol. And they're so big we couldn't fit them on our stage, so... I got with Pastor Richard Baker, and we're going to have them come. We're going to do a joint service together at Grace Point, a one new man night of worship with McKedem and Messianic Jew and Christian together. It's going to be a wonderful night. So please try to come October 17th if you can. If you need help getting there, you need a ride, let us know. We'll help you get a ride. But anyway, that's that's the story there. What else we got cooking?
That's all.
What else we got cooking?
That's it. That is all the cooked.
That's all the news that's fit to print. All right. Well, all right, folks. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And so let's prepare ourselves. We're going to pray. Folks, if you're online and you'd like to give and be part, if you're living out there in the wilderness and you don't have a congregation, and maybe you watch us every week and you feel a part of us, let us know. First of all, we want to know you're there so we can pray for you and minister to you. But if you would like to give online, you can do that at our website on PayPal. So God bless you, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to bless, Lord. You've shown me, Lord, in my years, that we can never outgive God, and that your word is true when you said, "As a man sows, so shall he reap. As a man sows, so shall he reap." And Lord, you've shown me, if I give $100, Lord, I've so often been blessed with $1,000. If I've given $1,000, Lord, I've often been blessed with $10,000. Lord, I'm just amazed when you tell me to give, how you bless me back, multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Lord. And I always say to people, if you have a need, sow a seed. Remember the woman with the widow's mite. Even if you don't have a lot, give God from your heart, and God will bless you, and he'll multiply. Just like the widow of Zarephath, she had just a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, but she gave it to God and served the man of God, the last food she had, and she never lacked after that. Hallelujah. May God bless you as you give. In Yeshua's name.
I lay a stone in
Zion,
a rock upon which to build. I lay Yeshua in you, a beautiful place to dwell. I lay a name in you, a name upon which to build. I lay Yeshua in a beautiful name to bear. La 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 la. A precious stone to behold. I lay Yeshua in you, a beautiful place to dwell. I lay a name in you, a precious name to behold. vision of two cities, a vision of the Lord, a vision of His glory forever.
answer coming up.
Mountain tops and let my voice
prostrate thyself before Adonai.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Melech Israel.
Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua, who said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me shall bear much fruit. Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua said, unless a kernel of grain falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. But if it does, it will bear much fruit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for fruitfulness. Make us fruitful, God. Make us fruitful and multiply, Lord. Make us fruitful and multiply us. Multiply the people, Lord. Multiply them in their finances and their children, those who are seeking to have children. Multiply them in their prosperity. Multiply us, Lord, in our congregation. Multiply our numbers, Lord, according to your will. Multiply. Make us fruitful and multiply. Your word says Joseph is a fruitful bough. Joseph is a fruitful bough. You're a God of fruitfulness and abundance, Lord. Thank you for your fruitfulness. Thank you for your abundance, O God. Hallelujah. Your word says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Thank you, Lord, that we don't want. We don't lack. We may want, but we don't want. We don't want. Some of us want, but we don't want. Praise the Lord. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the afikomen, the middle layer of matzah of the Passover meal, and he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of redemption, and he said, this cup is the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Lord. And by doing so, he changed the meaning of Passover from that moment forth forever, revealing to us the hidden meaning of Passover, that the the broken bread taken after the meal represented his body, and that the cup taken after the meal represented his blood shed for you and me. And so we invite all believers in Messiah to come to the Lord's table, Shulchan Adonai. You don't have to be a member of our congregation, just the body of Messiah. If you're a believer in that God sent his Son into the world, that he died, was crucified, buried 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and then he rose from the dead on that third day, early in the morning. He rose from the dead. The stone was rolled back. He left the tomb, and he went off for 40 days to make appear to over 500 people. And then he ascended. On the 40th day, he ascended on high to be seated at the right hand of God, where he is now watching us. Hallelujah. So let's bow our heads. If there's anyone here and anyone at home that does not know Yeshua, that's Jesus, Hebrew name. If you don't know Yeshua, just let's close our eyes and bow our heads. If you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. There's anybody here? And thank you, Lord. And if you're at home and you don't know Yeshua, all you have to do is just say these words with me. It's not the words as much as what's in your heart. Dear God, I believe that you sent your Son into this world. I believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. Today I believe, and I'm confessing it, that Yeshua is the Messiah, that he's the Christ, he's the Savior, he's the Lord. Lord, and I confess that I've sinned against you. I've sinned, I've broken your laws, and I need a Savior. So I ask, Lord, that for your salvation today, Lord, I ask that you'd forgive my sins, cleanse me, wash me of my unrighteousness. I can't earn it, nothing I can do to buy it, the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. You can't buy it. You can't. Somebody gives you a gift, you don't buy it, they give it to you. So if you'd like that free gift, just say, Lord, come into my heart and write my name in your book of life. Forgive my sins. In Yeshua's name, amen. I'd like to ask Brenda and Patricia if they'd like to serve today. Would you like to serve? You come. Thank you, Lord. Let's prepare our hearts to come as the ladies come. And just come as you're ready.
Oh, Yeshua, how long must we wait, longing for the day of your return? Oh, Yeshua, in Zion shall be your people of praise when you
It's like we had a little spill. Thank you. I know that's the way I feel. I just can't do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, ladies. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. For the children.
Okay, we're going to release the children. I believe Patricia is taking them today, so.
Do you want to let the kids stay up? Amber said that sometimes. Are you prepared for a lesson? You got a special plan? Okay, all right. I just didn't. That's fine. No, I was gonna just pray for them. Time's a waste, and so I'm gonna just pray for them. Wanted them to hear the message, the adults. Sorry. It's okay. Well, if they have something special, I don't want to stop it, but I would want the adults who haven't been here to be able to hear the message. But that's okay. It's let them go. If Madonna and Patricia have prepared. Let's do it. That's okay. Madonna knows what my she knows my messages. She's got a she. Oh, they were here last night. Patricia was here. Oh. Okay, the kids. I'm talking about Patricia and Madonna. Oh, you were here last night. Okay, great. Go have fun with the kids. Can I go too? I think I would. Amen. Tashlich. Tashlich. Throwing bread in the water. Amen. What an awesome thing. We need to have a Tashlich service. We've got our own creek. We have our own creek. We need to have a Tashlich service. We'll do it next week on Yom Kippur. If Hezekiah could have a Passover a month late, then we can have a Tashlich service a week late, 10 days late. Amen. And anybody who doesn't know what a Tashlich service is, you'll find out in 10 days. Okay. Lordy, lordy, I used to be 40. Then I was 50. And it wasn't so nifty. Praise God. Okay, let's pray for the word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the message that you have for us, Lord, and for the folks watching. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray that you, for your strength and your anointing. And can we turn the fan on there, honey? Thank you. I just pray for your, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, in Yeshua's name, Lord. And we can turn out the backlights if you want. Lord, we pray for the children today, and we just pray you bless them in class and anoint them, anoint their ears to hear and their eyes to see you and see your word. Anoint their teachers as they speak to them and let them have fun today. And we bind the strong man, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, are we on there, Isaac? Okay, shalom, everybody on Facebook. This is Rabbi Joe. Today's message is Revelation 12, the sign, part 2. Revelation 12, the sign, part 2. I want to welcome the folks watching us on live stream as well. I'm giving this on Facebook. I normally don't do this live on Facebook on our For Zion's Sake page, but because the transmission got messed up last night on the live stream, I'm doing it for you so that folks can watch it. Today is the day when the constellation in Revelation 12, if you want to turn to Revelation 12 with me, and a lot of strange things happening in the world, a lot of catastrophes, the hurricanes, islands being wiped out, utterly decimated, Puerto Rico, St. Martin, the Virgin Islands, just some islands being totally destroyed by the hurricanes. Of course, Houston and Florida getting very battered and experiencing incredible damage in Houston and throughout parts of Florida. We have 80, there have been up to 80 wildfires in California. And in the West, in Colorado and Montana and other states in the West. And we've been threatened with nuclear war from North Korea. The leader over there has just been letting off weapons and rockets like firecrackers. And people are wondering what's going on. And there's a sign, many people believe that this sign in the skies, there's a sign of Revelation 12. Let's read it. Actually, I'm in Romans, but I want to be in Revelation. So let me get to Revelation. Okay, Revelation 12, verse 1. There's a sign today that John the Revelator saw. It's the fulfillment of that sign happening today. And on this day, over Jerusalem, over Israel, is the direct spot. It's right over Israel, and we can't see it with the naked eye, but it's a constellation, and it looks like this in Revelation 12. It says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She is pregnant, crying out in birth pains, in agony to give birth. And okay, so again, I'll read that. A great sign appeared in heaven. Can I get some more of me in my monitor, please, if that's possible, just a little bit? A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She is pregnant, crying out in birth pains, in agony to give birth. All right, I'm going to stop there. So this woman... it goes on. Well, let's read on a little bit. It says, and she gave birth in verse 5. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away to God and into his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God so that they might care for her for 1260 days. Well, in one sense, the woman... not the woman in the sky, that's Virgo, and I'm going to talk about the celestial, the constellation, but
but the woman in one sense is Miriam, Mary, the Virgin Mary, supposedly, as the Catholics call her, you know, who gave birth to the male child. That's the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, and who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away to God and to his throne. Of course, when he grew up, we said on the 40th day, he ascended to heaven. He ascended to heaven. He was snatched away to God and to his throne. He sits at the right hand of power. So that's, in one sense, it's Mary. And then it says, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God so they might take care of her for 1,260 days. Okay, so in another sense, and we're going to see as we read on in a little bit, that the woman is also Israel. It's not just Mary. And how do we know that? Well, let's go down to, let's see. It says, and go to verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he stalked the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly away. Wow, what are these mysterious wings? Was Mary, you know, like Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, was Mary given two wings to fly? No, she wasn't. Okay, so it says here, but the woman was given two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly away from the presence of the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is taken care of for time, times, and half a time. And from out of his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river after the woman, in order to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the aid of the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had spewed from his mouth. So the dragon became enraged at the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Yeshua. Well, if the rest of her offspring, of the woman, are keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, then the woman can't be Mary, the mother of Jesus. The woman has to be Israel, because she is the one, she gave birth, her offspring, it says the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Yeshua. And he stood on, so here we see a transition from Mary, the mother of Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, Mary, the mother of Jesus, to this different woman who is Israel, who is the mother of Mary, representing, you know, Israel, the mother of all believers, of all children of faith, of all who would believe in the Messiah, of Jew and Gentile. Okay, of all of her children, those who would believe in the Messiah, those who are of natural born faith, and of, you know, believers, and believers grafted in by faith. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we have some interesting things going on here. First of all, let me give you some backdrop. The sign, a lot of people were saying that the rapture was going to take place this week because of Rosh Hashanah, and there's a lot of what I call false teaching out there about people will teach you that on the Jewish Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah, which began Wednesday night and technically ended Thursday night, that Lord was going to rapture the church and his bride on Wednesday and Thursday. There was a lot of teaching, and I saw some on the internet. I watched it. It was on all over the world on satellite TV. You know, people were saying, we're still here. And now I believe in a rapture, and I'm excited about the rapture. I'm looking up for my redemption. But I also know that the teaching must be sound. So don't think that I'm against, you know, it says the child was snatched up to God. That means it doesn't say rapture. The word rapture isn't in the Bible. But the child was snatched up to God. Elijah, the prophet, was snatched up to God. He was snatched away.
What was the guy in Genesis who was taken? Enoch was just, you know, what did they do on Star Trek? Beam me up. They were transported. What do they call it? Huh? Translated, transported. Enoch was translated, transported up to God. Elijah was translated up to God, you know, and taken away. And so was Yeshua. Jesus was just translated up to heaven. He was snatched away. Amen? Okay, amen? And so a lot of people believed that on Rosh Hashanah, because it's called the Feast of Trumpets, and this is the kind of trumpet that the Lord will sound. It's mentioned that when at the coming of the Lord in Matthew, and you can turn with me to Matthew 24. We'll look at another sign. This is the sign of the Lord's coming in Matthew 24, and it says. Thank you, Lord. For false messiahs and prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders. Verse 30, it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the land will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a great shofar. This is the shofar. So with the sound of this instrument, he will send out his angels with the blast of the great shofar. The tikiah gedolah is what it's called in Hebrew. Okay, it's the sounding of this instrument. We've blown it today, and I'm not going to blow it right now, but the sounding of this, the great shofar, which is a long continuous blast of the trumpet of the shofar, okay, and the mistake that a lot of people make, and tend to be people who don't celebrate this feast, they talk about it, but they don't celebrate it. And if you don't celebrate it, you don't know that it's not the great shofar or the last trumpet. It also says, Paul says. And I believe in Corinthians 15, that at the last trump, let's go there for a second, First Corinthians 15. Hallelujah, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last shofar. Everybody say the last shofar. For the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. The dead first, before the living. And we will be changed. So that before there's any kind of rapture, the dead rise. It says in Thessalonians 4:13, it says, for the living shall not precede the dead in the order of resurrection. The living shall not precede the dead. First Thessalonians 4:13. The dead will rise. It says in 4:16. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. This is the trump that Joshua and the priests walked around Jericho. This is Gideon's trumpet right here. This is what it looks like. Okay, so it says, for the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah shall rise, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. So the Lord is coming, and the dead will rise on that day when the Lord comes. The dead will rise first, the day of the Lord's coming, and there's no two second comings, there's only one, and the day the Lord comes is the day of the resurrection, because it says, you look at it, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, read it, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-16. The living shall not precede the dead in order of resurrection. And so, and take a look. If you're looking in your Bible, anybody reading it, raise your hand. I'll give you a chance. Take a moment, read it. You'll see what I'm saying. There cannot be a rapture before the resurrection. There cannot be a rapture before the resurrection. Okay? Yeah, we all understand that? Everybody read it? Okay. All right, let's go back to Corinthians. So, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last shofar. For the shofar will sound, the trumpet, and the dead will be raised, the dead first, incorruptible, and then we will be changed, those who are alive. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and the mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible will have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then we shall come to pass saying, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Hallelujah. There is no more sting of death for the living, for those in Messiah. If you don't know where you're going when you leave this world, then you're going to feel the sting of death. If you don't know where you're going and who's coming for you when you leave this world, then you're going to feel the sting, and it's not going to be a pleasant sting. A lot of people don't like needles, and some needles are very large. Some people hate needles and shots, and they get really scared. And I've had bone marrow biopsies with needles like this, a foot long, in my hip, where they, you know, horrible needles, okay? And they have to put me out or sedate me, you know, when they did that. And I've had several of those, okay? It's very painful. A bone marrow biopsy is very painful. So what's my point? My point is the sting of death is very painful. And brother and sister, if you don't know Yeshua, you really want to get, if you don't like the sting of a needle, you're not going to like the sting of death. You're not going to like the sting of death. So I please call on Yeshua. Read the New Testament. Read your Bible. Read the prophets. Learn. Call on God. Just ask God this question that I asked him. God of the Bible, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, show me the truth about Jesus Christ. Show me the truth about Yeshua. Show me, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Reveal to me, who is he? That's all you have to do. Just sincerely ask God to come into your life. Ask God to come into your life if you don't know where you're going when you die, and to reveal himself and to show you who Jesus of Nazareth is. And then let it go. You can ask him twice. You can ask him three times. You can ask him 10 times. But just ask him and then lay it down. Walk away. Go back to living your life. And I promise you, if you're sincere, he'll show you who Jesus is. And he'll come into your life and change your life forever. I promise you that. Just ask him. Invite God to reveal himself. You don't have to become a believer. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to come to synagogue. You don't have to do anything. Just pray. Say, God of Israel, God of the Bible, show me who you are. Reveal yourself to me. And if Jesus is real, show me who he is. Reveal him. If he's real, praise God. All right. So going back here to the sign, we're talking about signs today. Matthew 24, verse 29, it says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So we're going to see in other scriptures it says the moon will be turned to blood red. Joel chapter 2 tells us the moon will be turned to red before the dreadful day of the Lord. The moon will be turned to blood red. In other verses, in Revelation chapter 6, tells us that the moon will be turned to blood red before the coming. That's the sign. Everybody say the sign. The sign of the coming of the Messiah. the sign of the coming of the Messiah is the blood red moon. And how do we know which blood red moon is? Well, the sun will be darkened also. When the sun is darkened and the blood red moon happens, you know that the Messiah is right around he's coming around the earth. He's coming. I'll tell you why. Because the sun, in order for there to be a blood moon, there needs to be sunlight. You need sunlight. Why is that? Because a lunar eclipse requires, is where the earth is in between the moon and the sun perfectly. And since the earth isn't big enough to block the sun's light, some of the light comes around the earth. It's called refractory light. And it comes around, and the sunsets and the sunrises that are happening in places on the earth cause that red light in the sky. Amen? You know that red light? Who likes sunsets? Raise your hand. Who likes sunrises? Raise your hand. Okay. You know the beautiful reds and pinks and colors in the sky? Well, that's exactly what's happening. When there's a blood red moon, that refractory light of those sunsets and sunrises is light from the sun is going around the earth, hitting the moon like a mirror, and you're seeing a red moon, like it's like a moon during sunset. Whoop, glory. I excited myself. Praise the Lord. Are you excited? Are you excited to see a red moon it's not really bloody? It's a red moon that's like a sunset. It's a sunset moon or a sunrise moon. How cool is that? That you see the moon and it's like looking at a sunrise, but it's the moon so it doesn't blind you. Isn't that? That is so awesome. And that's the sign of the coming of the Messiah. And how will you know when it's the real day? When the sign is real of the coming of the Messiah, you'll know because there'll be no sunlight that day. The sun will not give its light. And so if there's no sunlight and the moon turns red, get ready. He's coming. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. On that day, that's the sign of the coming of the Messiah. Now it says when there's also the sign of the Messiah himself, and it says after that, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, that's a different sign. That's the sign of the Messiah. That's his sign. So the one is the warning. What's the warning? The blood moon is. Okay, the Messiah is coming. That's the warning. After the warning comes the sign, the Messiah himself. Okay? We don't really know what that sign is. We don't know. Maybe we don't know what it is. We just know he's coming in the clouds. That the cloud, it says the Bible tells us in Isaiah 13 and other places that the heavens will be rolled back like a scroll and that we'll see the Messiah coming in the clouds with power and great glory. It could be that. Yes, it could be the cross. It could be the Star of David. We don't know. We don't know what his. We're not really told. We can guess. If you want to, Carolyn, if you want to believe that, that's fine. I'm not going to argue. It doesn't tell us what his sign is because to Jewish people, let me tell you something. To Christians, the sign of Jesus may be the cross. To Jewish people, historically, the cross was used as a sign of death to the Jews. With the cross, the Crusaders came to Jerusalem, with the crosses on their shields and carrying crosses, and they burned Jewish homes and they raped Jewish women and they kicked them out of the land. And so, in the Spanish Inquisition, and the Catholics with the crosses. They tortured, they raped, they pillaged, they murdered, they made the Jews walk naked through the streets, and they did horrible things to the Jews. They tortured them, and many died, and they made them confess Jesus. And then once they confessed, they still tortured them and did horrible things. And so the Jewish people don't look at the cross as a sign of Jesus. They don't see it. See, it's a cultural thing. And many Jews, they look at the cross as a sign of, a symbol of death, like the swastika. Actually, the swastika is a distorted cross. It's a distorted cross. Jewish people, now I'm not offended by the cross. I'm a believer. I understand the cross. But Jewish people don't get it. Unbelieving. So a woman asked me one time, she was going to visit the synagogue, and she said, can I go visit? She's a Christian woman. This is years ago. Nobody in here. I don't even know who she is. I can't even remember. But I remember the incident. She said to me, I want to go visit the synagogue. And she was wearing a cross. And I said, that's fine if you want to go visit the synagogue. And these are the unbelieving Jewish people in the local synagogue. I said, but I suggest that you take your cross off or hide it. And she said, oh, no, I would never do that. I couldn't do that. Well, I said, do you want to make friends with these people? Or do you want to make enemies? Because if you go there flashing your cross at them, they're going to know immediately that you're not one of them, and they're going to be threatened by you because you're wearing a... She didn't understand that the cross is a symbol of persecution to the Jewish people. What did the Romans do to Jews in the first, second century, third century? What did they do to Jews they didn't like? Besides flog them. What did they do to Jesus? They crucified Jews. What were the two guys next to Jesus? Were they Jews? Yeah. They were Jews. They were thieves, but they were Jewish thieves. And they got crucified. So the cross is a symbol of death to unbelieving Jews. Try to get your head wrapped around that, okay? They don't look at the cross and see Jesus Christ. It's not Jewish to them. Easter is not Jewish to Jewish people. When I was growing up as a child, and my next door neighbor got an Easter basket with the chocolate bunnies and the little jelly beans and the green confetti stuff, and I used to be jealous, you know, why don't we get one, you know, because why can't I have an Easter eggs, colored eggs, but. Nothing. It was never. I never saw it as Jewish. My. You know, we called people around us as growing up. I wasn't a believer. We called them Gentiles. They're Gentiles, and these people next door to us, we called, you know, they're Gentiles. They're Christians, and what they're doing is Christian. It's not Jewish. We weren't condemning it. We weren't cursing them. We just didn't see it as Jewish. Christmas. I've been invited to many Christmases as an unbeliever. Growing up, had a lot of Italian friends, Catholic, and I would go to their homes for Christmas. And oh man, we'd eat mozzarella di bufalo and Roma tomatoes and olive oil and delicious Italian bread don't tell my mom, but shrimp scampi and lobster and all this incredible seafood, things I'm not supposed to eat. You know, but you know, that's what they served us, spaghetti and rigatoni and manicotti, you know, and fabulous Italian Christmas feast that I'd go to with my friends in the Boston area growing up. But you know what? I looked at their Christmas lights. I looked at the mangers and the baby. And I didn't see anything Jewish about it. I didn't not like it. I didn't have any problem with it. I just thought, this isn't Jewish. So Paul says, to the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might win some. We are, if we want to win people, we have to become as they are, that we might win them. Amen? So that means for me, as a Jewish fellow, I have to, if I want to reach southern folks here in Tennessee, or mountain folks, I have to become as they are. So seriously, I do. I've preached in some funky churches, let me tell you. I've preached in the Hollers in Kentucky. I've preached in the mountains of western North Carolina in Elk Park. I've preached in some mountain, hillbilly, country. I've been churches where everybody's related to each other. I mean, everybody's in the same family. I'm serious. There's a lot of churches where the whole church is related to each other. Everybody's cousins and sisters and husbands and nephews and grandchildren, and it's a family church. There's a lot of them, you know. And I had to learn to be sensitive. So when I go, I don't go wearing a prayer shawl. This is my synagogue. So when you're coming to my synagogue that God's entrusted me with here today, you're seeing me in my element. But when I go out to a church, I don't go with this. I just go and I try to be to the Christian, whatever group it is. One time I went to a Church of God. I thought it was a Pentecostal Church of God. I didn't know that there was a split in the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee. I didn't know there was a split, and there was a group of Pentecostals that split off, and they went to Anderson, Indiana, and they're not Pentecostal. So I was teaching them something. I forget what I was teaching. I was talking about Pentecost and all these things, trying to relate to them as Pentecostals, and they weren't responding to me. And then later somebody whispered to me and said, "We're not Pentecostal." You know, there's the Church of God over on State Street going up toward the cemetery, a Church of God there up on the hill by the cemetery is not Pentecostal. Okay, it's of Anderson, Indiana. So I didn't know, you know. So we don't always know. So anyway, okay. So let's go back to Revelation 12. But before we do, let's just go back in Matthew here. Let's just, since we're here, this is what he says. He says in verse 17, verse 15, "So when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains, that the one on the roof must not go down to take what is in his house, and the one in the field must not turn back to get his coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Pray that your escape will not be in winter or on a Sabbath." And we pray that on our Wednesday night prayer meetings. We pray that our escape will not be in winter or on a Sabbath. "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not happened since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. And unless those days were cut short, no one would be delivered. But unless those days were cut short, no one would be delivered, but for the elect, those days will be cut short." So, many people taught that the rapture was going to happen now, this weekend. We're not supposed, did you hear that? Raise your hand if you heard that we were going to be raptured this weekend. Anybody? Well, just one person? Two people? Anybody else? Three people? Oh, what's that, honey? Today, you heard we'd be raptured today. Nibiru, yeah, the Nibiru was there was a teaching going around that the world was going to be destroyed today, and that this dark planet or massive, humongous asteroids, black asteroids, and so dark that you can't see them with the naked eye. Theoretically, or when they were far out, they couldn't see them. This hidden planet, they thought it was a planet, or it was actually like a cloud of asteroids or meteorites coming toward Earth, and it's going to destroy Earth. It's been predicted in 2012. It was predicted that Nibiru was going to come and destroy the Earth at the end of the Mayan calendar. It was predicted that Nibiru was going to come in 2016. You can look up Nibiru predictions. you'll find out. And it was predicted that Nibiru is coming to destroy the earth today on this beautiful sunny day. But I prophesy Nibiru is not coming. Because I actually studied it, and it's coming. One day there will be meteorites, asteroids that will hit the earth. There'll be one is called Wormwood. A big one's going to hit the ocean and cause 1/3 of the world's population, it tells us in the book of Revelation, 1/3 of the earth's population is going to perish and die, and the waters are going to be turned bitter, and the fish are going to die, and there is going to be a massive asteroid hit the oceans and kill 1/3. That's huge. That's one big rock coming in out of the sky. It's coming, whether it's Nibiru or whatever you want to call it, a wormwood, I think the Bible calls it wormwood, is coming. Everybody say wormwood is coming. Wormwood is out there. Everybody say wormwood's out there. It might be 10 years out there. It might be 15 years out there. It might be 7 years out there. We don't know. Nobody knows when wormwood is coming. But I guarantee you that it came out in the news today, and you can look it up. Nibiru was a false thing. The guy who came out with the prophecy and started the whole thing, you can Google it up. Nibiru false prophecy. You can look it up yourself. He came out and said it's not true, and it was published in the Washington Post, and all kinds of on the media talked about it. Nibiru is phony. And in fact, if there was a giant planet that we didn't see coming and it was going to destroy the Earth today, you'd be able to see it. You'd be able to see it if it was coming. You would actually be able to see it with the naked eye because it would be closer than the moon. If it was going to hit the earth today, it would be closer than the moon, and we would be able to see it. But you didn't hear surely the President of the United States would know about it, don't you think? He didn't seem too concerned when he was speaking in Alabama, having a good old time down there with those country boys in Alabama, in Huntsville, with those, actually not, they're not actually country boys in Huntsville, they're kind of computer geeks. Developing radar and anti-missile technology. They're military types. Huntsville is where they develop the anti-missile defense systems in the U.S. It's a huge military industry. Military industry is weapons industry and defense industry is huge. I've preached in Huntsville. I've actually been flown down there to preach at Second Baptist Church of Huntsville several times. They've flown me down because you just can't find Rabbi Joe in Huntsville, Alabama, I'm telling you. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's read a little more here in verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you know summer is near. So we don't know that no man knows the day or the hour, but we can know we're in the season. So also, when you see, so we saw four blood moons a couple years ago. That's God saying, yeah, the Messiah is coming. It's coming soon, but we don't know when. It's coming soon. What's the sign of the blood red moons? What does it mean? That Jesus is coming back. Four blood red moons on the feasts. On feasts, Passover, on Sukkot, on, I believe, maybe Pentecost. There were four, on four of the feasts. Was it two Passovers and two Sukkots? Okay, he's coming back. Now, let's move on here, verse 32. Now, learn the parable from the fig tree. We read that, so it means we know the season. We don't know the day. Verse 33. So also, when you see all these things, know that is near at the door. Amen. I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone. But for just as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and swept them away. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one taken and one left. Therefore stay alert, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's coming at an hour you do not expect. Now let me say a couple things here about the coming of the Lord. First, as it was in the days of Noah. So everybody's out carousing, drinking beer like they do on State Street, partying away, all these beer companies, life is a party. Everybody's partying. People are drinking, doing drugs like it's going out of style. I've never seen more young people doing drugs. I've never seen more lives being ruined. I've never seen more people high. I've never seen more people spaced out. I've never seen more people broke because they're spending all their money on crystal meth and other drugs, heroin and marijuana and pills. I've never seen so many people drinking. I've never seen it. It's just everywhere, everybody, you know. Those were the days of Noah. That's what it was like. And Noah was sitting there building his ark for 120 years. Noah was building his ark, and everybody's looking at Noah. What are you doing, man? You know, hey, Noah, man, what are you doing, huh? You're building an ark? You know, what's this, man? Give me another joint. You remember Cheech and Chong? You know, hey, where's my bong? And then Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand. And the people are out there until the flood came, and they don't understand. But the problem is there are Christians teaching the return of Jesus on Rosh Hashanah, and the last trump is on Yom Kippur. If you're Jewish, you know that the last trump is at the very end of Yom Kippur. So their trajectory, their telemetry is off. They're teaching incorrectly. And if people, these Christian prophecy teachers that I see on Daystar, on TBN, on these networks, and God TV, and they get up there like they know what they're talking about, and the announcers, you know, what's the guy on Daystar? What's his name? Lamb, Marcus and Joni Lamb. They're sitting there like, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. You're listening to these false prophets tell when Jesus is coming back this weekend on Rosh Hashanah. They said, and he didn't come. He didn't come back. I wrote on Facebook on my page, everybody still here? Got to have a little sense of humor. Come on. And anyway, a lot of people checked in. So if you haven't checked in, please check in if you're still here on my Facebook page. Let me know you're still here. I'm concerned. I want to make sure I didn't miss the rapture. But seriously, this is real. If people who don't understand the Lord is coming back on a feast, it says so in Daniel 8. It says that the end time, the very end, the return, the Lord will come is coming back on one of his appointed times. He's coming back on a feast at the last trumpet. Well, the last trumpet is sounded on Yom Kippur. That's next week. That's about 8 days away. We're going to have services next Friday. I invite you to come. If you're not around here, come and watch. But Friday night, we're going to have a service, and Saturday, we'll have a service too. So come next Friday and Saturday and celebrate Yom Kippur with us and learn about it. But if people are teaching incorrectly, their telemetry is wrong. And if their telemetry is wrong and their trajectory is off, then their teaching is off and their prophecy is off. And so if you don't really understand the Jewish stuff, in order to understand it, I'm 51 years old. I've been celebrating it for 51 years, but just like the little baby Ava, she doesn't understand it. But when she's about 4 or 5 years from now, 3 or 4 years, she'll start to understand a little. Today she started to understand the dance. She liked it, right? Little baby liked the dance. She started, she came and she wanted to go up, but she couldn't dance, so Dan carried her. But one day she'll grow up, and Lord willing, she'll start dancing. And you know, that's the way it is. I love it. I love to see the children dance. So our understanding. So I began to understand the feasts when I was maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. About 5, I started to get understanding. So for 46 years, I have been celebrating these feasts. 46 years, I've been studying. 46 years, I've been hearing the teaching. 46 years, hearing the scriptures. 46 years, year after year, feast after feast. And you who are Christian or watching, let me tell you something. Where would Jesus be when he walked the earth on Rosh Hashanah? Where would he be? He'd be in the temple at Jerusalem. Where would Jesus be on Passover when he walked among us on the earth? Every year, he'd be in Jerusalem celebrating the feast. Where would Jesus be in John 7 and the Feast of Tabernacles? And he came up in the middle of the feast. He went to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And it says in John 7, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Yeshua cried out, Jesus cried out, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah! Well, you have to be Jewish to understand that Israel is in the coming out of the dry season in Sukkot, in the Feast of Tabernacles of John 7. Israel's coming out of the dry season where they haven't had rain in 6-7 months. Did you hear what I said? No rain for 6-7 months. No rain. So what do you think they're praying for? Rain. Amen. And that's what they're praying for on Sukkot, because it's the beginning of the rainy season. So he's there with that backdrop of praying for rain, and they pour out, they had the libation ceremony where they would pour out pitchers of water, and they would pour out the pitchers of water to God as an offering, praying to God to send rain. And in that backdrop, our Lord stood and said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. I'm the water. I'm the source. I'm the font. I'm the spring, the true spring. Amen? Come to me and drink. I'll give you water and you'll never thirst. Praise God. But you have to be Jewish to know that. You have to, or at least you have to have studied it and experienced. You have to experience the feasts. So please come. God didn't send me here to Tennessee to talk to a camera. He sent me here to talk to people. But you know, I had to leave everything. I had to leave my family. I had to leave my synagogue, my Messianic synagogue, where I was very happy. I had to leave my home. I had to leave everything to come and answer God's calling to come here so you people could learn about all the Jewish stuff that I learned in 46 years and give it to you and share it with you, because your Messiah is Jesus, is Jewish. He's going to sit on a Jewish throne, the throne of David in the state of Israel. He's going to sit on a Davidic throne, on this throne of David, King David, the throne of Israel. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back, gang, things are going to get real Jewish. Things are going to get real Jewish. When the King of Kings, who never died, he never tasted the sting of death. Well, he did, but he lives. He tasted the sting of death for us. He took our sins. Then he tossed him in the pit, and then he went up to heaven. And he's Jewish. Jesus is Jewish. You need to understand that. That's why I'm here. I'm in Bristol, Tennessee, in Virginia, because God wanted you, Christians, to get to know the Jewishness of your Lord. Not about me, but about him. But he sent a Jewish guy to tell you. Because you're missing something. Your trajectory, your telemetry's off somewhere, and that's why he sent me to help you get back on, you know, lined up. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So let's go back to the sign of Revelation 12. So wherever you are, hopefully your Messianic rabbi, if you have one near you, hopefully your Messianic rabbi is teaching you straight. Hopefully, I'm not saying we're perfect, by far from it. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But in this area, I'm all you got. So whether you like me or not, I'm the only Messianic rabbi in 100 miles who's really Jewish and was really sent here by God. And if I'm not, you know, if I'm not the guy that God sent to this place, may lightning strike me down, may hellfire and brimstone fall on my head right now. Oops. I know who I am. I know God sent me. I know why I'm here. I have no doubt. I know. God said to me, he said, to whom much is given, much is required. And he gave me a very strong Hebrew education so that I could come to you down here and come to the world on the internet and share what I know. Let's go back to Revelation 12. So the sign, we see a woman in the heavens. Today, there's a constellation. Virgo is above, directly above Israel, above Jerusalem. It's happening today, even right now. She's right there above Jerusalem. You have to see it with a telescope. I don't know where in the world you can see it from, but I know it's above Israel. And you have to see it with a telescope. But Virgo, the constellation, Virgo, the virgin, the woman, she has Jupiter in her belly today, and Jupiter is coming out through the matrix, coming down, being born, like a baby's birth. Jupiter represents the Messiah, just as it says in the prophecy of Revelation 12, 1 and 2. And she's standing on the moon. The moon is under her feet, the woman Virgo, the virgin, her feet. The moon is under her feet. And during the daytime, she's being clothed in the sun, in her glory. She represents the glory is the sunlight, not the sun of God, but the sun in the sky is the radiance is on her during the day. And then above her, it says, are 12 stars. Well, what's above this woman today in the sky that's happening, being fulfilled? That John's prophecy from Revelation 12, 2,000 years ago, is being fulfilled perfectly today. And it's a sign of something. And the question is, what is it a sign of? And we're going to talk about it in a minute. But so above her head, and while the moon goes under her feet, amazingly, Mercury drops down into her chest and then comes back up, Mercury and two other planets and 9 stars to form Leo the lion, the constellation Leo the lion, which represents the lion of Judah, as you see the lions behind me, the lion of Judah above her head, the 12 stars representing Israel, and it's all happening today. The prophecy, what John saw, and John the Revelator, Jesus took him up into the heavens and he saw this prophecy is happening today. Praise God. How awesome is that? And what's it a sign of? At the very end of Revelation 12, it says in verse 13, now when the dragon who has been thrown down to earth, it's the devil, he stalked the woman who had given birth to the male child, but the woman was given 2 wings. Now remember, we said that Mary wasn't given 2 wings, so we know that the woman is Israel. She was given the 2 wings of the great eagle. Well, who's the great eagle in the world? who's the great eagle? The USA! USA, 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 USA. That's what they, praise God. What's the symbol of the United States? The bald eagle. Hallelujah. America, you want to see America in the Bible? First, let me just say, what's the sign? The sign is that the two wings of the great eagle, America, is going to help the Jewish people go home to Israel to fulfill the law of Jubilee. And the law of Jubilee in Leviticus 25 is that in the year of Jubilee, whatever year that is, I'm not saying it's this year or last year, whenever God determines the year of Jubilee, the Jewish people are going to return to Israel in completeness. And why is that? Because God says that we have to go back and be given our inheritance restored. Jubilee means, if you read Leviticus 25, God will restore us the land of our ancestors, and we'll all go back and inherit the land that was belonged to our ancestors. We'll all go back just like Jesus went down from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census. Everybody's going to go back to his ancestral land, and God's going to bring us home. But how's God going to bring us home? On the two wings of the great eagle. Well, John saw this great eagle with two wings. That's the United States. That's an airplane. It's two things. Airplanes and the USA. Where's the last place on earth where the Jews haven't returned? Jews have been returning from all over the world, from Russia, from Africa, from the Middle East, from Asia. They've been returning to Israel for the past 110 years. Jews have been returning. But you know where they haven't returned from in mass? They haven't returned from the United States, and they haven't returned from Canada, and they haven't returned from South America. God is calling us home. He's calling the Jewish people home. And what's the sign? The woman in the sky giving birth to the male child is the sign that God is calling the Jewish people home. Let me share a couple scriptures with you how I know who's going to take us home. And it says in Isaiah 49, God says, "Behold, I will lift my hand as an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders." See, the nations will carry the Jewish people home. Isaiah 49:22. And it says again in Isaiah 66, "Then they," the Gentiles, "shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all the nations on horses and in chariots and in litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain, to Jerusalem." Isaiah 66:20. And then turn to one more scripture. Isaiah 60 is a wonderful verse. Isaiah 60. "Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen on you. For behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But Adonai will arise upon you." Now this is the Old Testament. He's talking to the Jewish people. "And his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light. Kings to the brilliance of your rising. Lift up your eyes and look all around. They gather. They come to you. Your sons will come from far away." That's us, the Jewish people. "Your daughters carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. For the abundance of the sea," and the sea represents the nations, the Gentiles, in prophecy, "will be turned over to you," it says. "For the abundance of the Gentiles will be turned over you," just like the Jews, the Israelites plundered the Egyptians. Somehow God's saying that the wealth of the nations, and I've heard teaching on the transfer of wealth, it's not talking about to Christians, he's talking about the nations will be giving the money to the Jews. Why? So they can give the money, just as Moses built the tabernacle with the wealth of Egypt, so that the Jewish people can give the money to build the temple. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. "For the Messiah, For the abundance of the sea, the wealth of nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and proclaim the praises of Adonai. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. And it says, who are these, verse 8, who are like a cloud, like doves to their windows? Surely the islands will hope in me. Who are these who fly, it says, like a cloud? We're going to fly back to Israel, like doves to their windows. Surely the islands will hope in me. That's us. The islands represents the faraway lands. With the ships of Tarshish in the lead, and we'll go on, some will go back by ship, to bring your sons from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of Adonai your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Foreigners will build your walls. That's why Donald Trump said that Mexico would pay for the wall. He must have read that scripture. Foreigners will build your walls. That's just a joke. I'm just kidding. But seriously, it says that. Foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you. For in my fury I struck you, Israel. But in my favor I will show you mercy. Your gates will be open continually. They will not be shut day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of nations with their kings led in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you, Israel and the Jewish people, for the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish. Get real close to the Messianic Jewish people and to the Israel. Because the nation that will not serve Israel and the Jewish people will perish, he says. Don't do it for me. Be like Rahab. She was smart. She saw the destruction of Jericho coming. And she said, even though she was a harlot, she saw the handwriting on the wall. And she said, I'm not going down with this city. I'm going to join these people. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish. Those nations will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you. And somewhere it says, kings will be your guardians and queens will be your nursemaids. I don't know where that verse is, but it says that somewhere in Isaiah. Kings will be your guardians and queens will be your nursemaids. And so, again, just to reiterate, Isaiah 49, behold, I will lift my hand as an oath to the nations and set my standard, my flag for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms and your daughters shall be carried in their shoulders. It's the Gentiles. It's the Christians. It's the nations who will bring the Jewish people home to Israel and to fulfill God's promise to Abraham. I've given this land as to you and your descendants forever, the land of Israel, all the way from the brook of Egypt, from the Nile River to the Euphrates and the Tigris. Read Genesis 15. And that's what the sign today means. It's a sign that God is about to bring his people home. Now, a year and a half ago, I gave a prophetic word a year and a half ago in February of 2016, 9 months before the presidential election. This is not a political message. I gave a teaching on Revelation 7 and Daniel 7 and 8 and Revelation 12 and 13. I said that and gave three sermons prophesying that Donald Trump would be the president of the United States, that he would destroy ISIS, that he would destroy radical Islam, Islamic terrorism, and that he would destroy Iran's nuclear capability. And why does that? And to me, what the most critical thing that I saw, and that he would help the Jewish people, I saw the eagle's wings. And if you get my teaching, it explains the wings. I'll tell you how I can prove to you that those wings are the United States. If you can order this teaching for $25, it's three CDs, and I'll even throw in a bonus fourth CD that I did at an international conference. If you can go on our website, www.forzionsake.org, and order this just for you can order it. Just say you want the it's called The Last President of the United States. The Last President of the United States. Just say you want to order that, send in $25, and we'll send it to you, ship it to you. And it's four messages, three of them given in February 2016. And again, I predicted that Donald Trump would be president, predicted that he would destroy ISIS, which he said many times. He also said it at his UN speech, he would destroy ISIS. Number three, he said he would destroy Iran's nuclear capability. He didn't say it, but he's about to break that treaty. Now, just want to look. North Korea is threatening us with nuclear war. If anything happens this weekend, it's not going to be the rapture, because the Jewish people haven't gone home yet. Completely, we haven't all gone home. So we got to go back. There's work to be done. So, if I'm true, my words will come true. I don't think we're going for a while. I think there's a lot of stuff that's going to come. If anything happens this weekend, it'll be in something from North Korea, a rocket or a missile, or possibly war, will happen this weekend. That's all I see coming. But and the sign in the heavens, not Nibiru, not the rapture. Okay, so, but that's my opinion. Now, if I'm right, praise the Lord. If I'm wrong, call me a phony baloney. Okay, but I don't think we're going to be raptured this weekend. I'll see you watching my Patriots on Sunday. Praise the Lord, if they're playing. Anyway, that you can get this teaching. So why does God have to stop the Iranian nuclear program? First of all, let me just say this. North Korea is just practice. Donald Trump is dealing with North Korea, and he has to stop their nuclear program as practice. He's learning. Donald Trump is like a child, and he's learning how to be president. He's learning how to govern. He's learning how to deal with Congress. He's learning how to deal with the CIA and the National Security Agency, how to be a diplomat, how to deal with nations. But he's also, he's irritating. Donald Trump is like, the Bible says that Jesus came to bring a sword that would cause mothers, children, to come against their mothers and fathers, and parents to come against their children. He's kind of like that, a sword. He's kind of like that. Donald Trump's a lightning rod. He's dividing people. He really is. If you like Trump, there's a bunch of people that are going to hate your guts. And if you hate Trump, there's a bunch of people that are going to hate your guts. Right? I'm telling it straight. If you like Trump, there's a lot of people going to hate you. And if you don't like Trump, there's a lot of Trumpians out there. They're not going to like you. And that's just the way it is. Donald Trump is a lightning rod. I've never seen anything like it. But I believe that all authority is from God, and there's Romans 13, and there's no authority under heaven that isn't from God, and all authority exists God gave us. And so Donald Trump is the president, and I believe God showed me that Obama was God's man for the time when he was here. Donald Trump is God's man for now. And Stalin was God's man for Russia when he was there, and for good or for evil. And Napoleon was God's man. And every leader and every authority is from God. And I believe it because the Bible says it. So, but going back to Iran, why does God have to destroy Iran's nuclear capability? It's got to be taken out. And don't think for a minute that the Iranians aren't doing exactly what the North Koreans did. In 1994, Bill Clinton made a treaty with North Korea. He gave them $5 billion, and they promised not to make nuclear weapons. They got $5 billion, and what do we got today? North Korea with nuclear weapons and missiles threatening to blow up U.S. territory. Maybe California, maybe Guam, maybe Japan, maybe South Korea, maybe Nebraska, maybe even New York City or Tennessee, whoever, you know, anywhere they want. They've got intercontinental ballistic missiles. So Donald Trump, Iran, why can't Iran have missiles and nuclear weapons? Because they're threatening Israel. And like Goliath, who threatened Israel, and nobody in Israel could defeat him, God raised up King David with a ruddy complexion and red hair, just like God raised up Donald Trump with a ruddy complexion and red hair, modern day King David, to defeat Iran. And he will. You may not like him. He may use foul language. He does. He curses. He was cursing last night. But whether you like him or not, he's not a priest, he's not a preacher, he's not a man of the cloth. He's the president. And I'll tell you something, he's going to defeat the Iranians. He said in his inaugural address, and he said at the UN the other day, he's going to destroy radical Islamic terrorism. He's going to destroy ISIS. And the reason Iran must be destroyed, they're not completely destroyed, but their nuclear capability taken out, must happen, is because Israel cannot be nuked. Why? Because the Bible says Israel is invaded at the Battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Also, Israel is invaded in Armageddon. Now, which comes first, I'll leave that for you to decide, Revelation 16. Armageddon, Ezekiel 38 and 39, Battle of Gog and Magog, Israel is invaded. Israel is not turned to charcoal. Okay, Israel is not blown off the map. If it is by an Iranian nuclear missile, God is a liar. That would make God a liar. Israel cannot be blown up by nuclear weapons. That would make God untrue. And God doesn't lie. Amen. God doesn't lie. So is Iran must be stopped to preserve God's integrity. Hallelujah. So that's one of the great things. Donald Trump, what are the two wings of the great eagle? The United States, the U.S. I've always wondered, how are we going to fly? We figured out that to get 6.7 million Jewish people out of America, that's roughly how many Jews there are. How are we going to get 6.7 million Jews and many Christians, maybe 7 million, 8 million people? I don't know how many are going to leave. It would take 6 months to get 6.7 million people by jumbo jet, airlines flying 24/7, just airlines. If you threw in Carnival cruise ships owned by the Israelis, there's many Carnival cruise ships. If you threw those in, it would take 3 months to get 6.7 million people back to Israel. Okay? It would take 3 months. Now throw in the United States military, the Air Force, and the Navy. Throw in C-130s, throw in C-5 transport planes, throw in who's going to protect those jets? Who's going to protect those civilian aircraft from getting knocked out of the sky, filled with Jewish people and Christians going to Israel, fulfilling the sign? The woman, the sign in the sky today is the sign of the return of the Jewish people. The sign of the woman giving birth, she's giving birth to Israel, to the nation. She's birthing, and it says she's experiencing pains. What are the pains for? Well, Jewish people aren't going to leave the nations without pain. It took the Holocaust to bring Israel, to birth the nation of Israel. It took a Holocaust in Europe. I'm not pro-Holocaust. I'm just saying that's what it took to get the Jews to go home from Europe. It's not going to be fun, gang. Troubled times are coming. Yesterday on TV in California, this strange voice appeared, and you can Google this. This strange voice appeared on TV in California saying, terrible times are coming. It just came on networks, on cable TV. You can Google it. This strange voice predicting terrible times and destruction in California came on, and millions of people in Los Angeles heard this voice. Nobody knows where it came from, or where it was from, or how it got on TV. But this voice just took over the TV and said, warn the people, terrible times are coming. Disaster, great disaster is coming to California. God always, in Amos 3:7, I believe, says God always sends his prophets to give with a word before anything happens. He always warns the people. And I you know, this woman in the sky is the sign of the return of the Jewish people. God is birthing. And it says in Revelation 12, verse 1, it says, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She's pregnant, crying out in birth pains, in agony. She's having tribulation. You see, the rabbis teach that these shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah are not the rapture. They teach that these shofar blasts are judgments, birth pains. Birth pains. Earthquake is a birth pain. Tsunami is a birth pain. Terrorist act is a birth pain. A hurricane is a birth pain. War is a birth pain. Famine is a birth pain. Pestilence is a birth pain. Do you understand what I'm saying? All these things happening, and people have said, last year was 5777, or the year of the Shemitah. I'm not putting years on it. I'm not putting, jubilees, because 50 years from 1967 is the year of Jubilee. It's over. It ended Thursday night. If you think that the year of Jubilee was 5777, I got news for you. It's 5778. So the Jubilee, I think the only real Jubilee is that we're seeing, you decide if last year was the year of Jubilee. I'll let you be the judge, okay? But so this is what we're going to see. And my predictions have been right up to now. The destruction of ISIS, the destruction of radical Islamic terrorism. By the way, the woman is standing on the moon. Allah is the moon god, and the moon represents Allah, Islam under the feet of Israel, under her feet. She's standing on Islam. She's crushing it with her feet. And if Israel has crushed Islam already, the Arabs are terrified of Israel. They don't dare attack Israel seriously. They only do it as they know that Israel will resist, won't. But I'm telling you, there'll come a day when they attack Israel. Israel will turn the Arab countries and the Muslim nations that attack it into glass. I was speaking to an Israeli colonel almost a year ago, 10 months ago, and he said, we have the capacity to turn the Arab world into glass. You see, glass is made of sand, and the Arab world is a desert, mostly. And he told me, he said, we have the capacity to turn them into glass. Okay? So, you Arabs out there, anybody listening, I warn you, that's what Israel will do if threatened. And if they know that Donald Trump is on their side, we have 7 years. All this has to take place during Donald Trump's presidency. And he will be the president for the next 7 years. He'll get reelected, and he will defeat ISIS, he will defeat Iran's nuclear threat. He'll defeat North Korea, because North Korea is a practice. It's just a rehearsal for what he's going to have to do with Iran. And trust me, Iran, if you don't know in the news this week, just came out with ballistic missiles. They just tested, or they showed that they have intercontinental ballistic missiles for the first time. You can look that one up. It was in the news just this week. Iran has already broken the treaty. They are developing nuclear weapons. Donald Trump knows it, and he's not going to play along with this stupid charade that the false media is hammering him. Okay, they're hammering Trump when Iran, the people are blind. Look back to 1994 when Bill Clinton made a treaty with North Korea. And they said, we won't build nuclear weapons. Give us $5 billion. And we gave Iran $450 million, was it? $450 million, basically $500 million. We gave Iran to help build their nuclear program. And they're building missiles. They're building weapons. They're preparing. They've launched a satellite. The Iranians have launched a satellite so that they can, you need to have a satellite so that you can establish the telemetry and the trajectory of your rocket. You need to have a satellite in the sky to do that. Iran launched theirs back in February in 2016. The Iranians launched their satellite. It's coming, folks. Iran nuclear, and they're the number one threat in the world, not even North Korea. Iran is a greater threat than North Korea because they have wealth, which North Korea doesn't have. So Trump is going to take them out. And all of this stuff, the return of the Jewish people to Israel, has to happen in the next 7 years before Trump's gone. It has to. Because after Trump, who will do it? Who will destroy Iran? Who's going to... Trump is the last, you know, he's the last chance for nationalism, for individual state sovereignty, nation sovereignty, borders, real immigration, law and order, people... showing real driver's licenses when they vote and real passports and real state IDs, not just saying, well, I'm Joe Bell and let me vote. Man, if you have to show an ID to go to have a drink in a restaurant, even at 50 years old, you have to show an ID. I don't even drink. I just know it. You're 40 years old, you know, I've seen people, I don't happen to drink, but I've seen people I've eaten dinner with buy a beer or a glass of wine, and get, can I see your ID? We buy wine for ceremonial purposes. We get carded, okay? You know, for Passover or whatever, we get carded for holy wine, you know, for ceremonial. And they, can I see your ID, please? It's amazing. You know, you need an ID for just about everything, except they don't want you to have one to vote. It's unbelievable. But Trump is the only thing, and the Constitution that he's protecting is the only thing standing in between a complete lawlessness, complete violence in the streets. There's already violence in the streets, but man, when he's gone, it's going to get... This country is going to be broken up. Another thing I said, based on this teaching, it's all based on Bible and Scripture, Daniel 7, 8, Revelation 12, and 13, and the last president of the United States. You can read my articles at the website at www.forzionsake.org. You can read the articles. Go to the newsletters, and you can read the last president articles. But if you want to get the original tapes, CDs of the messages, which teach more in depth, you can order it for $25 of your love gift. We'll send it to you. So that's the situation, and we at some point we have crossed over. You know, the birth pains are real; they're not false labor. And I believe if we're not in the real birth pains, we're real close. I believe we are seeing the beginning of the real birth pains, the judgments of Revelation, 5 and 6. We're seeing those judgments. What are those? What do they call those judgments? There's the trumpet judgments. There's the bowl judgments. What are the first ones? Anybody know? Revelation. Anyways, what's that? Let me just look. Revelation 6 here. the seals. The seal judgments. Opening of the seals. So I believe we're in those days of the seal judgments, and you can read Revelation 6 and see for yourself. So that's what's going on. I don't think we're going to see the end of the world this weekend. Nibiru is false. The woman represents the return of the Jewish people to Israel, the defeat of Islam, radical, not necessarily Muslims, but violent extremist Muslims. I'm not sure that Islam isn't going to be destroyed. It's going to be weakened. And God loves Arabs, and many Arabs are going to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God loves Arab people. God loves Palestinians. God loves Jordanians. God loves Syrians. But He wants them to come to Him. He wants all people to come to Him. And those who rebel, Ezekiel 20 says they're going to be purged. Those who rebel against God will be purged. Read Ezekiel 20, starting in verse 33. God says He'll purge the rebels, those who rebel against Him. But the Exodus, the return of the Jewish people, is coming, and God's going to bring the Jewish people home to the promised land. And that has to happen. And I think in the next 7 years, while Donald Trump is president, because I can't see any other president sending the Jews home, helping them. And I really think the two wings of the great eagle. If you want to understand why the two wings of the great eagle are America, get this CD set. And that's my message for today. So praise the Lord. Check out this constellation, Virgo. You can go online, go to NASA if you want to see it. Go to the NASA website, and they'll probably show you the constellation today. It'll be really cool. I'm going to check it out myself. Where this woman giving birth with the 12 stars over her head. This is, John's prophecy being fulfilled. All right. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how I shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you peace. And Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, God loves you. He loves you all, no matter who you are, Jew, Gentile, Arab, Democrat, Republican. God loves you. I hope you'll seek Him, and knowing God is a personal thing. It's a relationship with every person has to have individually, and salvation is personal, and it's for one heart at a time. So may God bless you. Shalom.